Now imagine being stuck in a car with your polar political opposite on a 20,000-mile road trip through 44 states for 3 years. You think you could do it? Our next guest did. They became friends shortly before the 2016 presidential election and say their differences actually brought them closer together. They experienced a lot of American life, including a Trump rally in Phoenix and the tear gas nearby, lobster fishing off the coast of Maine, New Orleans jazz clubs, a Detroit prison, and more. They also got an education on some pretty hot political issues along the way. But what did they learn about each other, and how can we apply those lessons in our circles of friends, acquaintances, and loved ones? Their book, Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground, came out last week. Jordan Blaschek is a businessman, military veteran, and writer from Los Angeles. Jordan, nice to have you with us.
Rob, thank you so much. Great to be with you.
And Christopher Ha is a journalist, speechwriter, and attorney from Berkeley, California. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thank you.
I want to talk about the origins of this road trip. You guys were pretty new friends in the scope of things. Chris, let's start with you. What led you on the road to going on the road?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we met in grad school. We actually met on the back patio of a bar where most great friendships begin. And it wasn't until a few weeks later when we actually got a chance to sit down and really get to know each other that we found out that we're both from California, that we both have a mutual love for literature, that we found all this common ground on everything but politics. And early on, we were aware that we were on opposite sides of the aisle. But in 2015 and early 2016, it didn't seem to matter so much. And of course, as the election approached, we all remember what it started to feel like. And that political difference really started to come to the fore.
And pick it up from there, Jordan. How did this lead to going on the road together, meeting people with different perspectives all over the country?
So our first trip together started as a lark. We were graduating. We were ending our first year, and I had to be in LA for a summer job, and I was going to drive. I sort of felt that driving across the country is this great rite of passage in early adulthood. So I was going to drive, and one night on a whim, I tapped Chris on the shoulder and said, "Hey, man, do you want to go on a drive with me?" And we took off from New Haven to California. We had 7 days to make it. And along the way, we just had so many great experiences. We drove through your beautiful state. We went through South Dakota and Montana and Wyoming. And the country's just really beautiful. And on the road, the noise turns down. You're able to have these beautiful, long conversations. And we felt like we were able to understand each other at a much deeper level and get to the shared values that we thought united us. And so even as we had some pretty all-out fights about things like police brutality and taking down statues, which all have seemed to come up again, we were able to kind of reconcile and find the deeper values. And so after that first trip, we decided that there was something special to the road, and we had to get back out and keep seeing it. So we ended up doing another trip, and after that, the book was born.
And I want to take you right into one of those fights. One of the toughest moments on the trip, I think, where you had an argument. I think you were in the Southwest talking about immigration. I want to read a little bit here. You wrote, "Our fight had brought us right up to the edge, but we survived. The two of us had wounded one another, and the venom lingered." But you get better after that. I think for a lot of pairs of people, family members, friends, or whatever, that part of the story would be the end. We can't get along. We give up. Chris, how did you bounce back from a really tense argument in the car?
Absolutely. Well, it wasn't easy. It really helped that we were in a car. We were actually in Nevada. We were somewhere between, we're on our way to Reno, headed north, and we were on our way. We were within sort of shouting distance of Mono Lake when it really got bad. And the simple fact that we were out there and that we couldn't walk away was so essential, because you have to go through the process of going, "Man, I'm so mad. How could he say that?" And then you start thinking, you know, maybe I should have said that a little bit differently, or, "Wow, I really got angry," or, "Man, I really enjoyed what we did yesterday," or maybe 3 weeks beforehand. And you have to go through that process of almost grieving for the fight and coming to a sort of place of calm. And you kind of can't do anything else, because if you open the door and walk away, you're in a desert for hundreds of miles. And so being in that car really brought us back together. And that's one of our biggest takeaways, is that you got to keep coming back to the table. And that's why we wanted to write that fight into this book, because this is messy. This is hard. Common ground isn't easy. It doesn't come in one conversation. Oftentimes it doesn't come in 5, 10, 15 conversations. And that's really the advantage of being in a car with the person you're talking to and being on a road trip over thousands of miles sometimes.
Jordan, what would you say to someone thinking, I don't want to put that kind of work into it. I know I can hang out with people who mostly agree with me. Why work through those knockout, drag out fights and hope I get better in the end with this person?
That's a great question. I think at some point on that trip during that fight, I had the same exact question of why am I doing this? Why am I taking my vacation where I could just be relaxing on a beach somewhere and instead in this car with a hippie who's telling me that, you know, for some reason I'm terrible because I have a certain position. And, you know, I think the truth that Chris and I found was that it made us better. These trips together, seeing things, having these deep conversations, getting to probe arguments and understand our values made us better people and better friends. And it really enriched our lives. When you have these arguments in a way that's not combative, but actually allows a real engagement and a dialogue, you see blind spots in your own worldview and you learn things that you didn't otherwise see and you become more empathetic people. And I think Chris and I, having done these trips together, have finished at the end feeling like we've just developed such a love for the country, a much more nuanced understanding of it, and a better relationship with each other. And having the project, you know, both getting to better conversations, but also ultimately the book, gave us something to really strengthen our friendship around. And it's left us today as best friends. We talk on the phone every day. And I couldn't be happier that we did reconcile all those times because it left us where we are now.
We're talking to Jordan Blaschek and Christopher Ha. They're the co-authors of the new book, Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground. It came out just last week. The book isn't just about you two getting to know each other. You meet a lot of people along the way, often people who I think defeat your expectations of them in a lot of ways. I want to ask each of you to share one person you met along the way that you didn't think maybe you would have found common ground with. Jordan, let's start with you this time.
Oh, great question. You know, I think the first person who comes to mind for me is this woman named Mimi Teresh, who we met in Tulsa. And Mimi leads this clinic called Women in Recovery. It's dedicated to taking women who, most of whom have kids and otherwise would have gotten sent to prison, often for drug crimes, and diverts them into this program, which starts as an inpatient program and then eventually an outpatient one, and helps them get back on their feet and stay out of prison. And Mimi is a fierce liberal. She feels strongly about certain aspects of injustice in our country. And at the time, you know, I come from the right. I'm a little more conservative. And I think she really opened my eyes to some deep problems we face as a country and helped walk me through it, but then also gave insight into how to solve them, which, you know, she was doing through creating a hard structured program that put structure at its heart, but also empathy. And I think for me, Mimi kind of combined what I was ultimately hoping to find on the road, which was, you know, incredible people working to solve hard problems, but doing so with real empathy. And so ultimately Mimi became almost like a mother figure to Chris and I.
And Chris, do you have somebody from a different perspective than your own who maybe opened your eyes a little bit?
I do, absolutely. So one of our first road trips after having gone to the Trump rally was with a man named Pete Miland, who's a truck driver from Daytona Beach, Florida. We met him in Las Vegas, and this was really our attempt to sort of run away from politics as fast as we could. We were very turned off by sort of everything about professional politics. And so we were saying, let's find other stories. Let's find more deep stories, more important stories. And Pete was kind of the first person who cropped up. So we flew into Las Vegas. We went to this truck stop off the strip, and we were looking for him. We heard this honk, and we look over. And Pete is jumping down from his car, and he opens his arms, and he's wearing a Make America Great Again shirt. And so I go, oh, you know, here we are trying to escape politics, and apparently politics are impossible to escape in 2017. But then we got out on the road, and while we were driving, we got to talking, and much the same way that we were just explaining how the fight went in Mono Lake, we just started to chat and keep chatting. And we came to know Pete as a really complex thinker. You know, he's wearing this Make America Great Again shirt, which he wore for at least a few days. Maybe I shouldn't say that, Pete, sorry. but he the first thing he said about politics and the president was, you know, I really wish the president talked a little bit more about climate change. It's such an important issue. And of course, he said that from the cab of a diesel truck and wearing the shirt. And that was really an important moment for me and Jordan in realizing that, look, you might think you know someone by taking a quick glance at them or even having a quick conversation, but underneath it all, we're so much more complex than we appear, or that we might gather from just looking at a voting record. And Pete was really the sort of first instance of kind of realizing that for both of us.
We're talking about America's partisan divide and our guest's mission to better understand each other with Jordan Blaschek and Christopher Ha. Jordan's a Republican businessman, Chris, a Democratic attorney. They're good friends, co-authors of the new book, Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground. They took road trips all over the country, pretty much. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How well do you get along with people on the other side of politics from you? Are you able to have civil dialogue about politics, or do you got to avoid the subject when you're with those people who disagree with you? Which issues are the hardest for you to discuss? On the other hand, have you found ways, like our guests, to get along, even though you know you disagree on stuff? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about how to bridge America's political divide with Jordan Blaschek and Christopher Ha. They are the co-authors of the new book, Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you able to have good, constructive conversations with people you disagree with on an issue, on most issues? Let us know how that works, what works when you do that. Call 800-642-1234. Adrian wrote on Facebook, I have friends on all political stripes. Facebook is not a place for discussion. I fill my feed with pets, farm info, and family, and relentlessly block the ugly memes and ads. Discussion needs to be face-to-face to get the 90% of the nonverbal communication when talking about the things you disagree on. Jordan, let's start with you. In-person versus social media, Adrian says, makes a big difference.
Oh, I agree with Adrian 100%. And I that's actually one of our recommendations that we usually give people. You know, I think it's so important to be able to see the other person, to see the emotion that they have, and to see that they're real whole people. And in doing so, you can't caricature their actual beliefs. And social media, I think we've all learned, kind of thrives on engagement. And the easiest emotion to get people to engage on is anger. And so it's no surprise that social media is calibrated to stoke anger. And so I think Adrian's recommendation about cultivating his or her social media account so that it feeds, you know, wonderful, happy news and content is way better than allowing your social media to just feed you endless streams of things that poke your emotional buttons. So wholeheartedly agree with that.
And Chris, this reminds me of a moment, I think it was early in your journeys at a Trump rally in Arizona, where, you know, there's a lot of drama of protesters and counter-protesters. Then away from the cameras, the two of you stumbled on a heated but actually pretty good conversation with people on both sides. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2017, we were in Phoenix, we were driving through the Southwest, and we decided to go to Phoenix because it just by happenstance, we realized that there was going to be a Trump rally not that far away from where we were. So we decided to go over, and we made our way into the rally and heard the rally. And then we were outside and where protesters and rally goers sort of intermingled in a place we called the Brackish Zone. And there was a lot of yelling. There's a lot of slogan shouting. But then just off the beaten track, there was a group of four men, two of them BLM protesters and two of them presumably rally goers. And they were just having this very civil dialogue back and forth about what BLM means and, you know, the ways in which they disagreed over that meaning and what it led to and where it came from. And the conversation ended with handshakes. And we were truly blown away by it. I mean, at that point in the night, you know, we had heard a lot of shouting and we were not expecting to hear dialogue. And yet there it was. And I think that was part of our hypothesis when we said, look, let's keep these trips going. Let's go out. Let's find more of these kinds of conversations. Because if it's happening here, then it must be happening everywhere else. Because this seems like the least likely place to find that kind of dialogue.
Let's go to our callers now. Greg is with us in Appleton. Greg, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. And
thanks.
I wanted to let you know that my best friend is a staunch Republican, and I'm slightly to the left of Mother Teresa. and two or three times a week, we'll have happy hour on the phone with each other, and I'll say something about the day's events, and he'll take his stand, and I'll take mine. And I found that by this time we've had our second drink, we've discovered common ground, and we can come to agreement. So as a matter of fact, we decided to both run for president, and whoever was going to win, the other would be the vice president. We decided that wasn't going to work, so we formed a Common Sense Party, and we're running as conjoined twins. And that way we can shake hands on the left and on the right, and we'll be able to always find that middle ground. And that's what I wish everybody could do.
Thanks so much for sharing that. Chris, what I'm really hearing there is a sense of humor that the two of them share. That sounds like it's key to them getting along.
Yeah, and I think that's key to any sort of cross-partisan relationship. It's too bad we didn't take this call, a couple years ago. Otherwise, he probably would have made the book.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to Jerry in Glendale. Jerry, hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a longtime friend. He's very conservative. I'm very liberal. We get together every week, and we wade into the knotty issues of politics. And what I have found really is critical is how we listen to each other rather than coming up with a counter argument. And I just want to hear from your guests how they value the skill of being able to listen to people who are different than us.
Jerry, great point. Jordan, listening, not making sure you have the killer response ready.
Oh, absolutely. So I think for us, that was our real learning. And again, your listeners are incredible because they're already capturing all the best insights that we came to and took years on the road to get to. But for us, we found that early on when we were having these arguments and our intent was to try to win or convince the other person, you end up just in these tit for tat arguments where you're just waiting for your opportunity to speak and you're not really hearing the other person or engaging with their beliefs or their experience that led them to where they are today. And so it was only when we set aside the need to win or to convince the other person and said, I just want to understand what it is you really believe from the experiences you've had, that we were able to engage as friends, as two people who care about each other, as people with different life experiences and political priors, but ones that we could really learn from. That we ended up getting somewhere. And so I think everyone, if they're going to engage in political conversations, they have to do so, not with the intent to win, but with the intent to really listen and to be enriched by it. And if you don't do that, I don't think the conversations will ever go that well.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Christopher Ha and Jordan Blaschek. They're the authors of the new book, Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground. Back to your calls now. Margie is with us in Milwaukee. Margie, hello.
Hi there. Good timing. Thank you. I'm going to buy two copies, one for me and one for my younger sister. Mm-hmm. She and I are, as time has gone on, polar opposites politically, and it has devastated me. Just devastated me. I just, I have tried to talk, to sit down and talk with her, and she's closed-minded on one topic, and she doesn't care. It's like the means justifies the end, or the end justifies the means, because all she's concerned about is pro-life and getting super conservative judges on the bench, and she doesn't care about anything else. It's the only thing that matters.
Margie, thanks a lot for the call. We just have a few minutes left. Chris, do you have thoughts on a disagreement over what for many Americans on either side is a fundamental issue of their values and their identity? Is it possible to come back after a disagreement like that?
Yeah, another easy question. No, absolutely. I mean, I think there are real differences between people in this country and the quote unquote sides, they're not going anywhere. I mean, in some ways, Jordan and I mean, not to give too much away in the book, and also Margie, thank you for buying too. It really means a lot to us. But we are still a Republican and a Democrat. We weren't able to convert one or the other. And what we really say is that what matters is getting to a place, common ground, and what matters is getting to a place where disagreement doesn't matter as much, not sort of convincing one another of these deeply held, in some cases, beliefs. And so, I think, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of advice when it comes to conversion or getting someone onto your side. But what we do sort of preach is trying to find, you know, values or common experiences or even deeper identities, whether it's sisters or where you're from, to try to sort of take the temperature down somewhat and be able to have an exchange. Because, you know, there were many issues that I thought that Jordan and I were never going to be able to talk about, that we were diametrically opposed on, and there was just no room for common ground, that eventually through time and with care, we were able to have conversations about, and that I moved a little bit. And I'd say Jordan probably would say the same thing.
And Jordan, just 30 seconds or so left. Are you hopeful that people can do somewhat you two have done?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thrilled to hear the listeners that we had call in, because I think they're reflecting the fact that Americans are tired and somewhat bewildered by the polarization. I think everybody kind of wants to come back together. And if that desire is that strong, we think it's definitely possible. And Chris and I ended the book very hopeful that Americans can come back together, and they will. And everyone in their own life has a role to play in doing that.
Jordan, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Christopher Ha is a journalist and speechwriter from Berkeley, California. Jordan Blaschek, a businessman, military veteran, and writer from L.A. We talked about their new book, Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground.